Would anyone like any of the elected members like to foreshadow a potential conflict of interest later in the agenda, Councillor Schilling?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yep, declaring a probably more, I'm not sure, but a conflict of interest on the Verge Incentive Fund because I am just finalising my personal application for a Verge at my property.
That sounds like it might be a material conflict, so you might have to leave for that.
Yep, no worries.
Thank you. And if you have any questions about that, of course, ask Ms. McKenzie. No one else I can see putting a hand up. So would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the last General Council meeting? Please. Moved Councillor Masika, seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? Raise your hand. Yes. Yep, thank you. That's unanimous. Carried. We move straight on to committee recommendations. So talking about the open minutes of the Finance, Risk and Audit Committee, would someone like to move accordingly? Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Hutchinson. If there aren't any questions, Councillor Hull, did you have a question?
Yes, can you hear me, Mr. Mayor?
I can hear you, thank you.
I have a couple of questions. I'll direct the first one to the CEO. Is the CEO concerned about some findings by that committee in regards to work health and safety and the potential for matters to fall through the gaps, is their words?
Do you want, Councillor Hull, can you be a little bit more specific?
Well, I'm sure you've read the report, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I
just want to give the Chief Executive
a fair
go.
I'm sure the CEO has read the report as well.
All right. Mr. Harrison.
Sorry, I'm just, is it possible to refer just to the page number and the reference, please, on the page?
Councillor Hull's declined to do that. Can you give a general response, perhaps, Mr. Harrison?
Okay, so in relation to workplace safety...
It would have been early in the meeting.
Councillor Hull, you shouldn't be interrupting. You had a chance to be more specific. You didn't want to be. So let's allow Mr. Harrison to answer the question, please.
Thank you, through the chair. Generally, in relation to workplace health and safety, I think the data, the statistics, the performance measures, without even referring to what we've done from a structural strategy and governance perspective, would certainly suggest that we are in the strongest position from a workplace health and safety in relation to the smallest number of lost term injuries. We have not had a lost term injury since June last year. We haven't had a single one this financial year. So the data would certainly tell us that we are in the strongest position we've been in recent history, actually. In relation to strategy, we're probably in the strongest position from looking at a more robust prevention strategy with recent audits that have been undertaken in the organisation from external auditors, which have demonstrated that we have continually improved our position in relation to a more holistic, safe workplace system. And those audit reports, I think from memory, were presented to the Risk and Audit Committee and possibly even to Council some months ago. We've increased the numbers of dedicated FTEs in relation to workplace health and safety, and we are very quickly enhancing our position in relation to skills verifications and audits to make sure that all of our staff, but particularly outdoor staff, have their requisite levels of skills and qualifications to use, for example, machinery at the same time as well. So in summary, across the board, I'd really strongly attest to the fact that we are in the strongest position that we've been in for many years, both from the data that we can rely upon in relation to performance, but also the strategy, the structure, and the system improvements that we're continuing to make internally as well.
Councillor Hull, second question.
Well, do you want a specific reference, Mr. Mayor? You did ask me for...
I'm sure that's not your second question,
yes,
but you ask your second question if you want to.
Right, but... So you asked me to provide a reference and I've...
Councillor Hull, you're now being disruptive. If you have another question of any of the staff, then please go ahead.
Okay, another question to the CEO. It talks in here about project management and the lack of business continuity and handover and documentation in the report. So Can I have an explanation? I had one more question.
Sure, Mr. Harrison.
I guess it's a very generalist proposition you're putting forward there. It has been the case, I think, for a couple of years, and certainly in the last 6 to 9 months, that we have identified, particularly when we benchmark against our collaborative councils of Port Adelaide and also Charles Sturt, that we had areas for improvement in relation to overall project management in a number of different dimensions. We have workshopped that. We've looked at putting improvements of systems, practices and processes in place during the latter part of September, October, November last year. And we are monitoring that in relation to seeing whether we're realising the improvements in relation to project management across the board. It was only last week I was speaking to our senior procurement officer, Jamie Dunnicliffe, who, as you would be aware, works across all three councils and is in an ideal position to actually show us through some benchmarking comparisons in relation to how we're performing against the other two councils in particular, but other councils more generally. And it was very evident that we are better positioning ourselves in relation to project management. That's not to say we don't have to have it as a high-focused priority area, and we need to do more work in this area at the same time.
That's the whole third question.
Yeah, third question is on page 36, the area of elected members report. It talks strongly about how the committee intended to talk about the Sam Willoughby International BMX facility and also the Southern Adelaide basketball redevelopment. And it was agreed that they would take that into confidence. And I could understand that. But in the confidential minutes, Mr. Mayor, crickets, no mention of it at all.
I would suggest then, Councillor Hull, when we get to the confidential item on the agenda relating to that meeting, you could raise that issue then. That could be further explored.
Can you park that for me, Mr. Mayor?
Well, yeah, I'm sure you'll put your hand up and I'll make sure I recognise you at some point. Thank you. Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just referring to an item on page 33, the all-important estimate for a range for the rates increase forthcoming. We have probably two factors now to consider. One is CPI, currently running at 3.3%, which is not necessarily going to be what we'll be facing later in the year. And I take on board the fact that it's mentioned that more work to be done in that area. But in regard to the supply of services, I wanted to just preempt the fact that wage inflation, which is probably the best way of bracketing the subject of the increases that we're going to be facing, and probably contract price inflation, are two things that may actually go out of kilter with CPI. And my thought was that it's important for the committee to deal with that well before the end of year, so that we can actually come up. I think it's the first time in our two terms, or certainly my two terms, that we've been faced with two factors running at different rates, as it were. So it's something I'd like to concentrate upon.
Thank you. Certainly getting
into it. But it's a request.
That's right. I mean, you could have placed that more properly in debate, but if there's a question there, it probably is just for management to acknowledge and ensure that those issues are raised at the next Finance, Risk and Audit Committee meeting. Mr. Harrison, is that possible?
It certainly is. And if I can just very quickly provide a response to Councillor Gard as well, that those two topics you reference are in our discussions literally weekly at the moment, if not sometimes daily. As recent as yesterday, we were plotting out the scenario in relation to potential wage increases as we're in the middle of a EA negotiation for indoor staff. So it's very much front of mind in relation to the consequences and the impact of both supply, escalation pricing, rates, and also the potential impact on the budget owing to enterprise bargaining negotiations as well.
Thank you.
And Councillor Gard, just a reminder, you can attend to the next Finance, Risk and Audit Committee if it's convenient, and you might find that interesting. Yep. If there aren't any more questions, do I have someone to move that we accept the report?
We have a mover and a second. It just needs to be voted on.
Oh, okay. So that Councillor Gard was debating. I didn't realise it. I'll put that to the vote then. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we can move on. So we get to the Virgin Incentive Fund on page 40. And Councillor Schilling has departed, acknowledging a material conflict because he's contemplating installation of a verge his property. So I'm after someone else to initiate the debate. Who would like to move something? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. I think we did talk about this before. Another great incentive by our open space team. I think it's potentially a great win for our streetscapes and for our community, and I don't think I need to say any more than that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Gard, did you have your hand up?
Yes.
You speak.
Thank you, Your Worship, again. Yes, it's something very, very close to my heart, the fact that we need to do our best to lift our entire city in the way it looks on the streets. We're doing a great job to date with trees. There's much more to come. But part and parcel of that general ambience, and let's face it too, greening, because it doesn't just take trees to green an area. There is so much more that we can do to add value. And it's been said many, many times in many, many forums, with a little F, that there are tremendous returns available when we beautify a city. And I know a previous deputy CEO mentioned that it was probably the best investment that we could make for the city. I speak of Jeff Whitbread, and he came a long way with that principle in the city of Geelong. So I keep on expounding on that because I think the more we do, the better, but we need to do it scientifically, and we need to do it part and parcel with the community and have people working with us. So that it doesn't seem like a them and us exercise.
Thank you. Question, Councillor Hull, or speaking against, whichever.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question.
Yes.
I did discuss this with Councillor Crosland, actually. Is there any possibility and potential for this to create the trigger for those people that have installed artificial grass prior to the period where they could get approval for it, as a means of actually assisting those residents to belatedly comply with the current council policy? So I just, maybe a question for Mr. Troop.
Well, I'll ask if any of management want to answer that, but isn't the answer an obvious yes? I mean, if this is passed, anyone who owns a verge can put in for the scheme if they have an idea.
Well,
and
Mr. Mayor...
Just jump up half. Anyway, let's allow management to answer.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's right, Bruce.
That was a yes, I take it, Mr. Mayor.
It was a succinct yes, even more succinct than the mayor, yes.
Yeah.
So if there are no more questions, it's been moved and seconded, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Now, Councillor Clancy, the image I see is frozen. Not sure. We might have to have the vote again. Councillor Clancy, can you hear me? Yes. All those in favour, raise your hand or indicate in favour. Yes. Okay, that is carried unanimously. Great. Very gratifying that the Mayor's idea has been embraced by everybody. Thank you. On to page 68, caretaker policy. If there are no questions, somebody like to move? Councillor Hull, you moving or questioning?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move it with an addition. And if I just go to the recommendation, it would be to adopt the revised caretaker policy included in attachment one to the report, but also to include that for the duration of the caretaker period, that the code of conduct as we know it applies for each and every elected member.
Councillor Hull, that is potentially problematic, and I'll seek Ms. McKenzie's advice. Ms. McKenzie circulated legal advice that the council received just in the last couple of days to all elected members. So the danger inherent in the motion as moved is that it could create a perception of confusion, because the legal advice we've received is the full answer. So it's a matter of, and which is the most extensive advice we have received. So the question is whether that shorthand notation in the motion is consistent or potentially inconsistent with the advice received. Ms. McKenzie?
Through the chair, I think generally what we've tended to do with policies is try and keep the legislation out of it. The reason being is that the legislative documents sit on their own, and we've tried not to repeat it to ensure that our policy documents are succinct and to the point. There's nothing stopping us from putting a paragraph in. However, what it would state is that all council members are required to comply with the legislative requirements of the code of conduct, and that that document should be referenced if any matter should arise. But I think you could put it in there, but my recommendation would probably not to, because it would be a duplicate, because that stands alone on its own.
So perhaps this is a question for the mover, maybe also Ms. McKenzie. But the confusion that might be conveyed to people's minds is the notion of the code of conduct, which ineluctably applies to all elected members when they're carrying out their duties, and on the other hand, the code of conduct applying to people who are elected members but acting in other capacities. So, for example, we have to be, you know, respectful, etc. But when we go to a football match to watch the Crows, we don't have to be respectful. That's in a different capacity. So, Councillor Hull, were you trying to sort of include in the policy something that then goes beyond elected members carrying out their official duties?
Mr. Mayor, in terms of legal advice, as you know, we have received conflicting legal advice, both written and oral. So, you know, the jury's out on that.
I'm just getting at the intention, which I would normally ask the mover if there's an ambiguity.
The intention is that this is not open season, that just because an election's been called, it's not open season where we can actually distribute material about each other and disparage each other.
The legal advice does cover that, yes. All right, I think you've clarified. You want the policy to go beyond elected members carrying out their official duties, as I understand your answer.
Well, Mr. Mayor, if you refer to another elected member, you can't divorce yourself from the fact that, oh, well, it's election time, so I can really say whatever I want about the other elected member.
I understand that's your opinion, and that's what you're trying to now bring into the policy. Let's just take some more advice. Mr. Harrison?
If I can, please, and I certainly respect the views of Ms. McKenzie, my clear position on this would be that resolutions of council should not extend to the position of potentially interfering or causing ambiguity or undermine a piece of statutory legislation which is there to provide that guidance and is inclusive of the code of conduct as it stands at the moment. I would suggest strongly that we should very much support the policy position and its amendments to provide that clarity, but we shouldn't be seen, or the council shouldn't consider, the member shouldn't consider necessarily including an aspect of a recommendation which really does encroach on the statutory legislative provisions which sit within the government's governance of the state parliament, I would suggest.
So we've got to the point, in the chair's view, the motion is somewhat ambiguous, but not out of order. So Councillor Hull, I'll invite you to speak to the motion if you want to persist with it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I definitely would like to test this with my colleagues. Members, this is about running a campaign where you don't talk about the other councillors, or the mayor for that matter, that you stick to what you want to achieve, your hopes and aspirations for the city of Marion. There's no need to refer to other elected members. There's no need to actually put out material and say, don't vote for him because of this, that, and that. Because if that person's elected, you've got to work with them for the next 4 years. The other thing is that what is wrong with the notion of actually providing a platform of civility and decency during an election process? Just because an election's been called, it doesn't mean that all bets are off and you can just go for it. Now, I don't want to reflect back to the past election. You all know that. I don't have to tease that out. But I just want to know if you all will support going into this next election with a understanding that how we've behaved for the rest of our election period is the same as how we're going to behave during that election period. And I can't see the difference, really. Once you're elected, from the day one to when you finish, that's what we work by and that's the rules. And really, it's a long bow to suggest that because there's an election on, I can actually say whatever I like about whoever councillor or the mayor, because I can. I'm sorry, I don't get that. So I put this to the council and seek at least a seconder.
So I'll see if there is a seconder. Councillor Crossland, go ahead, please. Sorry, Councillor Crossland, I want to give you an opportunity to clarify the matter, because it does seem to the chair, and in the light of Ms. McKenzie's comments, that what Councillor Hull is trying to do is not necessarily the same as what the motion states. And Councillor Hull's intention really may need to be implemented by the law of South Australia rather than motion of council. Ms. McKenzie wants to chip in at the point.
Yeah, I'd just like to clarify, you're correct in that the code of conduct can only apply to members for official functions and duties. It doesn't extend beyond that. So this is where, when you read the legal advice talks about a public officer and when you're in that public officer capacity, and that is when the code does apply. So I am wondering whether the words, if this gets up, needs to be added, that the code of conduct will apply to all council members for official functions and duties during the caretaker period, rather than an open-ended.
So before we go to the seconder, which will be potentially Councillor Crossland. Councillor Hull, did you wish to adopt that wording or not? It's up to you.
Well, Mr. Mayor, Ms. McKenzie is referring to that legal advice. I've heard legal advice that...
Yeah, Councillor Hull, there's no need to debate, but your position is respected whether you wish to adopt those words or not. What is your position?
Well, this is our code of conduct, Mr. Mayor. It's not the state government's.
So is that a yes or a no?
Well, no, I don't agree with
you. No, okay. So, Councillor Crossland, you're seconding as it is?
I'd like to ask a question of Ms. McKenzie.
Yes, of course.
So, I think the thing that always confuses me is if I, as me as an individual, put material out to all people who live in my area disparaging another elected member or staff member, and I sign it personally. It's nothing to do with me as a councillor. It's me having a beef with what's happening or what another person's doing in the council. Are you saying I can do that without fear of being held accountable by council?
I think the advice that has been provided has been that if you are conducting, if you're putting out information and you've done it in accordance with the Elections Act, and if you're doing that as an individual, then yes, you can do it.
So what if I'm doing it, is what I'm saying is, what if tonight I put, and I'm using the CEO because I know he'll not be offended by this. So if I wanted to put material out about Mr. Harrison, and it's me as an individual, it's nothing to do with the election, and I'm just want to highlight something he said during a meeting. If it's not true or it's disparaging or not respectful, I'm completely in the clear.
I think the point is during a meeting. So it was to do with the conduct of official functions and duties that have occurred as the course of being an elected member, hence within a council meeting, then it would be picked up by the code.
But what Councillor Hull is getting at, we all know what he's getting at, is comments that were made about things he'd done as a councillor. Yet the advice was that's not picked up by the code, even though it's referring to things he said or did in a council meeting.
If I can just interrupt there, Ms. McKenzie was clarifying to say that it's not about the subject of the commentary. It's about who's giving the commentary and the capacity in which they're giving it. So, for example, in a recent council meeting, Councillor Hull said he was disappointed in the chief executive. Now, as long as that's said without aggression and otherwise acceptable, the comment itself could be made as a councillor in a meeting without infringing the code of conduct. Of course, it's about time and place and meaning and tone and all of that. But essentially, as McKenzie is trying to convey, that would be within the bounds of acceptability. But if one, went to the media with commentary about how disappointing management was over a period of time, whatever, it could stray into reducing confidence in the council, which is a breach of the code of conduct. So I'm not sure if that helps, but I had to step in because I thought you were talking at cross purposes with Ms. McKenzie.
Can I just add, though, that sort of confused me more with that last comment, because it's quite clear that what happened in the last election was a direct commentary about somebody's performance or something that had happened as their role as a councillor. And is what I think Councillor Hull is trying to achieve here is a recognition that we're all trying to be respectful of everyone else's views and uphold some sense of quality in the city of Marion, that we are all professional people. But we don't understand why for 2 months a year, we can start throwing punches at each other and everyone is powerless to stop it. And if it can't be done legally, can it be done by the 12, 13 of us agreeing that although you can start slagging each other off for 2 months, why don't we come together and agree that that is not good form? It doesn't show the city of Marion in good light. And why don't we actually agree that it won't happen?
Yes, so I think the state law will prevail. Ms. McKenzie, what do you think?
Through the chair, yep, there is various legislation that is set up in place for the local government elections and the code of conduct, and each individual matter would be dealt with on its own merits if a matter came to light.
All right. So, Councillor Crossland, I don't think we can help you any more with advice. I think it's up to you to continue with your seconding if and as how you wish.
Yeah, look, I'll continue to second it. I believe that the actual reasoning behind what Councillor Hull is trying to achieve is sound. I believe that it is common decency to respect each other during all the time, whether you're in an election mode or you're an elected member in a sitting council meeting. And I think as adults, it should be something that we could support, even if the legislation doesn't actually give us that legal grounding. We can choose our own code of conduct.
Now, anyone speaking against the motion, then I'll allow the question and then Councillor Valescu can speak. Factual question, please, Councillor Guy.
Yes, I'm trying to determine in my own head whether we are actually creating something that is redundant to the law. I get exactly what Councillor Hull and Councillor Crossland are driving at, and I understand why and I accept why. But
your question?
What I'm loath to do is cut across the law if we are cutting across the law. So just yes or no, are we or are we not?
Ms. McKenzie, if I could just reframe that concisely, and Councillor Gard can tell me if I've hit the nail on the head or not. The words added by Councillor Hull in moving the motion, are they redundant in any sense or a truism?
I would suggest they're not entirely accurate in that the code can only apply to official functions and duties, and without having that within the wording, I'd probably recommend against it.
Right. That's the answer to the question. Councillor Valescu speaking against. Go ahead.
No, I had a couple of questions first. My first is this actually beyond the power of council for us to be saying that the code of conduct applies for everything, including, you know, which it's obviously meant to be for the campaigning, and, you know, what members choose to do, that's, you know, that's their choice, fortunate or unfortunate. Is it outside the power? Because if, as members are saying, it applies for the campaign period, then it's outside the power.
All right, Ms. McKenzie, I'll take your advice on ruling here.
So just quickly through the chair, it is important to note that any complaints that actually happen as a candidate are actually referred to the Electoral Commissioner. They're not actually dealt with by council. So unless it's something that is coming out of official functions and duties and the code applies, council wouldn't be the one that is determining the complaint in any event. It would be going to the Electoral Commissioner.
So I'm sorry, before I come back to you, Councillor, Mr. Harrison wanted to answer in respect to the ultra-virus question.
Yeah, thank you, and through the chair. The part that I am struggling with and I would like to share is that the intent of this agenda item before council tonight, I think, is really very much focused on the ongoing good operations and decision-making in the interest of efficiency of the council operations during the caretaker period. If there is a desire by councillors to look at strengthening the behaviours between councillors, for example, or other matters that may touch on behaviours and codes of conduct, I would suggest that that's not what this paper is intended to do, and maybe that needs to be brought to council in a different form than what this paper is actually intended to achieve tonight.
Councillor Valescu, back to you.
And just on that, I've got another question on this as well. But my question is, if I were to call Councillor Masika, for example, a bully, and during, like, you know, after this meeting or during this meeting, what would be the code of conduct consequences? And if I were to put a leaflet out saying that Councillor Masika is a bully, and even though, you know, it's not true, what would be the consequences under the Electoral Act? Because it's want to determine if one's more severe than the other for people doing the wrong thing.
I'll go to Ms. McKenzie, but can we use Councillor Smith or Councillor Jones, please?
All right. Yep. Sorry, Councillor Seeger, it's just you're far from it, so yep. I'm going to throw
it. I know, because it was far-fetched, but Ms. McKenzie?
Through the chair, the difference with the Electoral Act is that there can be prosecutions under the Electoral Act, which obviously doesn't occur within the Code of Conduct. So they are the differences.
Councillor Valescu.
Yeah, so I'll leave it at that. But I guess I was going to question whether an email received by elected members 2 weeks ago in regards where an elected member.
Yeah, getting off the track of caretaker policy, really. Did you wish to say anything substantive in the debate or not?
Yeah, look, I encourage people, you know, to be civil during the campaigns, and you know, it's not something that I've addressed in my material. I've made sure that it's all, you know, just about what I want to do and what I want to improve. But really, I believe this is more just about people's own experiences, and this isn't the right area for it. I think it's ultra vires. And really, you know, I've seen some behaviour over the last term, which I probably wouldn't want continued on. So I think it's a little bit rich to say, oh, let's keep it as it's going, because it's not good. I've seen it to staff, I've seen it to other elected members, and I'm concerned about that. And I'm concerned that it's more about, you know, things could be more productive, in my view. So, you know, I think we need to move on with it. Code of conduct applies for when we're elected members. And if we do anything that's stupid in the campaign, we'll pay a bigger penalty because of that legislation. So I don't know why we're sort of flogging this dead horse, because it's not something that's needed. And that's why I don't support it, not that I don't support civility amongst elected members.
Is anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Then we can just go back to the mover, Councillor Hull, in reply.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I hear Councillor Blescu, but, you know, Councillor Blescu was never subjected to any of what I'm drawing the council's attention to. You know, if you talk to, you know, former Councillor Byram and other candidates that ran for mayor, they would have a different view. I have a different view because I was subjected to it. In terms of Ms. McKenzie's comments about referring these complaints to the Electoral Commission, well, guess what? I referred quite serious matter to the Electoral Commission, and they were only interested in determining whether there was an author to one particular document. They were not interested at all about the content. The content of that document was never discussed with them or treated as a complaint, even though I put it to them. They had a copy of it, and therein is the problem. We don't have a agency to fall back on to deal with this sort of stuff. It has to be quite serious before they look at prosecution, which they did with our council twice during the last election. And it's the other stuff, the content of the material put out, that is what I'm talking about. It really is an area we need to lift our game in terms of the reputation of the council. I've been running for council for many years, Mr. Mayor, many elections, and I defy anybody to actually suggest to me that I actually engage in the behaviour that I'm seeking to stop in any of the material that I put out. So, you know, and I've ran against, Councillor Pryor a number of times. It's always been a clean show.
Finishing up now, thanks.
Stick to the issues. And, I respect him for that. So
all right.
I just hope that everybody operates the same way, Mr. Mayor.
I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That is not carried. So I'll invite now, I suppose, strictly speaking, I should say anyone who hasn't spoken yet, so that leaves out three people, to move the motion as printed or some other motion.
Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like a division. I was muted before I had the opportunity to call for a division.
All right, I'll accept the division on the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. I saw Councillor Hull and Councillor Clancy in the affirmative. Was there anyone else in the affirmative? Councillor Duncan and Councillor Crossland.
Sorry, Your Worship, my screen keeps freezing as well.
Right, so I think we have those four.
My screen was frozen, Mayor Hannah. Yeah. I was in the negative.
I beg your pardon. So this is one of the jeopardies of meetings online. So I think I must ask for the vote again. Those in the affirmative, please raise your hand and just leave it there, please. Right, we've got Councillor Hull, Councillor Crossland, Councillor Gard and Councillor Duncan. You may put your hands down, thank you. Those against, please raise your hand and keep them up for a moment. Councillors Masika, Telfer, Clancy, Hutchinson, Velescu, Schilling and Mason. So the motion is defeated. It would, under the circumstances, tell me if I'm wrong, Ms. McKenzie, but I think it would not be out of order to invite someone to either move the motion as recommended or in some other form.
Yes, as recommended or in some other form, yes, and it's a fresh vote, so anyone can speak again.
Anyone, okay. Councillor Schilling had his hand up first.
I'll move as printed, please, Your Worship, and I don't think I need to say anything.
Thank you. Seconded Councillor Velescu, did you wish to speak further? Anyone speaking against? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, not speaking against, just a question. I forgot, I noticed in the material that it changed to elected members to council members. I'm just wondering why the change in terminology.
Through the chair, yes, we are changing all of our corporate documents now to council members instead of elected members to be consistent with the Local Government Act.
All right. So if there's no one speaking against, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? No, that is carried unanimously. Can I call division on a unanimous vote, Ms. McKenzie?
No.
Really?
No, because it's unanimous.
I got it wrong. Well, I carried by majority then. Are you sure about that?
Yes, because a unanimous vote would indicate that everyone has voted in the same manner.
Fair enough. Let it be so recorded in the minutes. So we move on to the next item and council member allowances, remuneration tribunal submission. I thought members might be up for a complete freeze, but administration have been kind enough to draft it with a CPI increase. So up to you, members. I mean, Ms. McKenzie, just tell us about the conflict of interest business, because theoretically we should all leave the room.
Not really. Not to this one, because obviously it applies to the whole council.
All right. So just I just thought we should get that on the record. Who would like to move the motion? Councillor Hull.
Well, Mr. Mayor, it's actually a question, if you don't mind, at this point.
Oh, yes. No, go ahead.
It actually does go down to the statutory committees, and that does mean that there is a particular benefit for those members who are members of statutory committees and chairs. Does that actually extend the scope of the conflict of interest? Because in the past, if you were actually involved in any of those, say the...
Yes, I understand the question, Councillor. So I suppose the answer is that anybody who is going to be a chair of committee after the next council election, could you please leave the room?
Through the chair,
anyone knows they can be. So, Ms. McKenzie,
and through the chair, the committees, the chair of the committees is actually set by the regulations. It's not set by the tribunal. So, what happens with the committee's allowance or the chair for the committees is that it's applied at 1.25, which the remuneration tribunal won't be amending. They're only amending the total value.
Someone to move the motion. Anyone out there? Moved, Councillor Crossland. Is that as printed, apart from with or without amendment?
I was just going to move it as printed, and I'll be honest, I'm not sure what the triple X was for.
The triple X is not anything indecent. It just means you can fill it in if you have a suggested amendment. So if you don't, then it would be a full stop after tribunal where it appears secondly.
Yeah, so I'd be happy with just a full stop.
Very good. Yeah, easily pleased. Full stop. Very good. Did you wish to speak further?
No, I think it's self-explanatory.
Councillor Gard had his hand up. Do you want a second, Councillor Gard?
Yes, I think everyone knows that I won't be renewing or attempting to renew on council at the next election. So I suppose that makes me more free to speak in favour. But all I would have to say is that I certainly don't think that a councillor's duties will be worth less in real terms in the future term. And I certainly hope that their productivity is not less in any case.
Hear, hear. Anyone speaking against or question, Councillor Valescu?
Thank you, Your Worship. I had a question. Is it possible to put in a clause that it does that if it's CPI, it's the lesser of CPI and average council wage rises? Because if you know if there's an EB and it ends up at a certain figure, but CPI is high, I don't think even as a gesture that elected members should be getting a high percentage.
Tricky to do on the spur of the moment, I would suggest, unless you have something printed, but you're at liberty to produce something.
Well, I was just thinking the lesser out of average staff wage increases and CPI.
Ms. McKenzie?
The challenge with this one is that because councils are allocated into groups, so City of Marion is a Group 1B, each of those councils would have different wage increases within their own agreements, so you wouldn't be able to then apply it across the board. So we kind of fit into that category, so I don't actually think it would work.
You see the complication, Councillor?
Yeah, no, that's
anyone actually speaking against? Then Councillor Hull.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I think that if we're actually going to be talking about keeping our remuneration the way it is, that we don't actually leave that loophole that Councillor Valescu has highlighted of a potential 3.3% increase, because it could be out of step not only with EBs, but out of step with the rate increase that we actually apply for our residents. And I think that we should actually indicate that we want to have our remuneration in Marion frozen as it is. And I would actually move that as an amendment, Mr. Mayor, that we actually keep our allowance exactly how it is, and that'd be our recommendation to the tribunal.
Well, I think the appropriate way to proceed, because that's going to be tricky to do by way of an amendment, would be to test the motion that's on the floor and come back to you, Councillor Hull, with a differently crafted motion. If,
as you wish.
Yep. If Ms. McKenzie, any advice on that?
Yes, I would agree with that one. I think you would probably need to let the vote happen on this one and then take another one if it fails.
Right, that's what is proposed. So, any other speakers in favour? Councillor Schilling?
I just have a quick question. Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Just to confirm that we make, say, our recommendations, and let's say the Chamber moves to freeze our rates, but all the other councils get a say on this, and say they say we all want a 10% rise, except us, then the committee is going to look at those more favourably than ours because majority have said we want this, correct?
They'll look at all of the submissions and make their own decision. Yes.
Mm-hmm. No worries, thanks.
Any more speakers, then I'll... do you need to say anything in reply, Councillor Crossland? Then I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. Yeah. All those against, raise your hand. That's carried by majority. Thank you. So we move on to
questions, please, Mr. Mayor.
The division's called by Councillor Hull. So those in favour, please raise your hand. They are Councillors Gard, Masika, Crossland, Telfer, Duncan, Hutchinson, Schilling, and Mason. Those against, please raise your hand. They are Councillors Hull, Clancy, and Pryor. Thank you. The motion is carried. So we move on to the questions taken on notice register. And I would suggest we can probably do all of the cover confidentiality cover reports. And I just make, if people want to move them on block, that is, and then we can question or discuss any of them as part of that process. But I just note that in relation to the confidentiality, that they've mostly come under confidential reports before, which means that if we vote in favour, the discussion would be had in confidence, but we are then masters of how much of the documentation is released publicly, minutes, reports, etc., as we debate it. So, Councillor Telfer, what would you like to do?
I'm just moving in block.
Yes, thank you. Anything to add?
No.
Then is that seconded? Councillor Masika, thank you. If there's no more discussion, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? Remaining items, yes, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. So I can't call a division on that. All right. And that also concludes the open part of the meeting. And we now turn to a confidential meeting. Due to the technology, we need to finish this meeting, and those who are involved can then log in again for a confidential meeting. My computer has it at 7:22 p.m. I know it hasn't been too long, but I'd suggest a 3-minute break to allow people to grab a drink and dial in again. So let's say 7:25, we resume. I call this part of the meeting to a close.